Can you hear the music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This gets me fucking amped. Had this made.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. My AirPods got ran over recently. So the case.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised nothing else happened.
Quality, I guess.
Hell yeah. Quality is what it is. Apple makes some badass products, and I've never had anything other than Apple. Like, the very first cell phone I ever got, I guess I had a Nokia Flip, but, like, the very first, like, real cell phone I got was the original iPhone, and then, like, I just got this last week. It's the 15 Pro or whatever, so.
Well, you're going to be really disappointed in me, because I am a Samsung girl, and I get made fun of all the time.
What
yeah.
is wrong with
See,
people?
I know.
Like, let me guess, you had a BlackBerry too, right?
No. I don't even know what I had LG phones, I think. That was a long time ago.
It was. Back when, I was talking about this the other day, back when you had to hit like the 5-10 times to get like the letter you were looking for, and back when it cost like $1 a minute to be on the internet, and it was like, you know, data plans sucked.
No. Right? It was when we paid for ringtones.
Oh my God. Do you remember Punch Much?
Oh yeah. I was on it all the time.
15 cents every time, right? And it was like, man, I really want this music video to pop up. I'm getting tired of waiting for someone else to request it and paying 15 cents. So you're like, fuck it. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. Only for someone else's request to eventually pop up anyway.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Those are the good days where we didn't have to work, or at least I wasn't working yet in those days.
Oh, no, I think I was working, but for my dad. So only on weekends and summer holidays. During the school year, I got to hang out with my friends. So
nice.
I think I was like 16 or 17, something like that. 15, between 15 and 17. Anyway.
Yeah. I think I was a little bit younger than that when that was going on, but yeah, still that regardless, that was a long time ago now.
Well, how old are you?
Oh my God. Can I make you guess? I love this game. Please, please play along. 30. I won't get offended.
You just hit 30.
31. So yeah, you're close.
31. So yeah, I'm 35. So yeah, I'm like 4 years older than you. So like, yeah you were a little younger than
Yeah. Me. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I love this game. One guy last winter guessed me at like, oh my God, I think he guessed I was in my 40s, and I'm like, excuse me? I've never in my life, like, it's always like younger, but I love playing that game. I always make everyone guess. I'm sure no one loves guessing a woman's age.
Well, like, I don't think it's as big of a deal anymore as it used to be, but like with you, right? You come across as mature, right? You're in a battle-hardened industry. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're the oil patch itself, but like the rig moving side of things, right? Like,
yeah,
all to the wall until it's not, right? And fucking same with the backside and whatnot. But like, you know, so you're mature. You're pretty mature, and you're in that battle-hardened industry, and you're just like. You know, like you, the way you carry yourself too, like you don't look old, but like, you know, like you carry yourself.
I guess
I'm a classy broad, and like classy ladies tend to be a little older, right?
You think I'm classy. Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's, I guess, yeah, I try and present myself that way, but that's debatable.
I didn't
most
mean to
days.
Say classy broad either. I just it came oh. out that way. It was kind of like, oh, that's a classy broad, right? Like it's
no,
supposed
no.
to sound a little bit funny, but whatever. Anyways, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro outro. And find that guy everywhere on the socials, you know. And on today's episode of the podcast, we got Lucille, aka Rig Moving Chick. What's up?
Not much. What's up?
You know, not a hell of a lie. You know, I just got back to the hotel not long ago. I'm in Viking, Alberta right now, Ooh. Just doing my thing. Yeah, I was out your way last week. You're still around Drayton, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was out that way fuck, last week we're working in Entwistle and Wildwood and, oh, geez, where else? We were all over that section there, and I stayed at the West Winds. That's my favorite hotel probably to stay at. It's a great little place.
The West Winds is your favorite? Wow.
It looks old and run down, but when you're in there, it's not bad. And, like, when you pay for the hotel room, dinner is free at the bar.
Oh, I didn't know. The bar does have good food. I haven't been there in a while, but it's honestly super reasonably priced. And I suppose since I'm local, I don't really stay in the hotel rooms. Like, yeah, I can't say I've ever even stepped foot in them.
Anything you want on the menu is free when you stay at the hotel. I had steak and I had wings and I had the chef's linguine and the spaghetti, the baked spaghetti. Oh, my God. Okay, wow. Like the portions are so big, I get my free supper, and then I get a free lunch the next day.
You know? Oh my god! You don't see that too often anymore.
No, it's great, and I think the rooms are only like $80 a night or something like that. And to get like that food, like oh my god,
what a steal! Yeah, that's an awesome deal.
Hell yeah! So it's been a while since I've seen you. You know, like you know. We had a bit of an interesting first encounter. You know, like, I tell everyone that story. I'm like, oh, yeah, she fucking hates me, bro.
Was wondering if you're going to bring that up or not, but here we are.
Yeah. Often and early, you know, like, no, I was joking around about it earlier. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, like, she fucking hates me. And like, we, it was funny. It was a funny first encounter, and I felt so awkward. I'm like, oh my god, she just fucking tore me a new one. Do I sit here still and say hi, or do I like just do that awkward thing where I'm just like, you know, put my head down and shit, right?
Honestly, you know, like I was just talking about this with my fiance before I came on here about why I'm like so defensive about my Northwell days. Like I don't know if you want to get into that or, you know, like my reasoning for it.
We'll get into it, but I just want to say congratulations on your engagement. It's thank fairly you. Fresh, right? Like within like very recent.
Yeah, like geez, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Well, happy like engagement, or how do we say
thank
that?
You.
Happy, I don't know. Congratulations on the engagement.
Thank I'm you.
You know, this, like,
yeah.
When are you guys getting married? When's the plan? Like, is there a plan set in motion, or like, are we just like, kind of, it'll happen when it happens?
Yeah, no, I originally was thinking like a 3-year engagement. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait that long. So I'm planning for October 26, 2026. So basically two years from now.
2626, eh?
Yeah.
Is that on purpose?
Kinda. It's my fiance's the day after, because that's a Saturday. The day after would have been his late dad's birthday. And so it's kind of like a date of significance. I just had randomly picked it one day when we were chatting about, you know, whenever it happens, like not 2026, because I didn't know at the time, but just like the 27th. And he said, oh, well, that's my dad's birthday. And then, yeah. So when I looked at the calendar, it was a Sunday, and I didn't really want to have a Sunday wedding. So he said, yeah, the 26th, like the day before, it's kind of, you know, still special. And it's just, you know, have a little part of him there. Right. So, yeah.
That's huge. I love that. That's, mm-hmm. That's amazing. Good for you guys.
So, thank you.
Let's jump into your rig moving days at Northwell. Like, you know, like what you were going there, and you know, like, I don't know. I love it. I love it. You know, let's smash out the awkward shit first, right? Like, that's fucking, I think it's fun.
So when we, like, you won't even feel awkward about it once we talk about it. It's just, you know, being a girl in that industry, it's extremely hard to break into it, right? And I was this close from not making it because the driver I had back in the day, his wife found out he had a female swamper, and I was, he wouldn't take me anymore. So, and that pissed me off. Like, fuck you. This is my paycheck that you're fucking with. Right. And so just by chance, this other driver who, yes, I ended up dating for 6 years, he took me on, and it was up from there. He taught me everything I know, and the days with him were invaluable. Like I can't replace the knowledge that I gained from that experience. So I almost slipped through the cracks, right? And all in all, like my days at Northwell, and I'm not talking about the owners of Northwell, I'm talking about the people on the ground that I worked with day in and day out. You know, like if you think about you're a swamper, you know the relationship you have with your drivers and your crew and everyone around you. Like you get pretty close with everyone. Like those people, they are the reason I made it. They pushed me. They give me the opportunities to grow. When I was scared to try something or hop in a truck and, you know, load a load or whatever, they're the ones encouraging me and walking me through the process. And a lot of those, basically, I would say almost everyone that I worked with there, like they're still in my life. I work with a majority of them still to this day. And so when I get defensive about my days at Northwell, it gave me everything I have today. I know my hard work and my work ethic got me there, but those people and that experience there, that changed my life. Like, I don't know where I would be or what kind of money I'd be making. I'd probably be, I don't know. I have no interest in schooling or getting an education or anything like that. I don't know where I would be without them. So, you know, like if I do hear someone talking, or like, I don't like putting other companies in a bad light. And trust me, I could talk some shit about a lot of companies, but I just don't want to do that because we all have a common goal. And the goal is to go to work, try and have some fun while we're at it, make a living and come home to our families and, you know, like all the other stuff that comes with it. And so those years I spent at Northwell, it was, what would it be? Geez, 11 years or almost 12 years. I think 10 or 11 years. Yeah. That I put in with that company. And like I said, like, yeah, I'm sure you could find better companies out there, but whatever. Like, it's the guys, it's my core group of people that are like family to me. And I think we went out there and I think we did one hell of a job. So,
when you think of like the origin story of where Northwell came from, right? And how Neil started that and where he took it and everything that happened leading up to his demise. So, I don't even want to call it demise or death, but like leading up to the end, right? That dude was fucking incredible, man. When you hear the top-down stories of, you know, like how he got bought out and how he waited 5 years, built his empire, and on that fifth year, that to the day he rolled out and just fucking got down to business and built generational wealth. That guy's great-grandkids who will never meet him are fucking well off today.
Yeah.
Right? Or will be well off down the line. Right. And like that whole story is just incredible. Right. And I understand. I understand what you mean. That whole family means so much to me too. Right. Like
For sure. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and like I've rig moving and I guess oil patch in general, like I lost my job multiple times because I didn't spend 10, 12, whatever it is consecutively with Northwell, because you know how the oil patch is. You kind of got to bounce around, shit gets slow. You got to make a living. And, you know, so
where I'm doing now.
Yeah. And so, you know, I went through losing my job multiple times, but this last one where Northwell was going to be no longer, that was just like, oh, dropping my truck off at the sale. That was a hard one because I'm also extremely attached to that specific truck too. So to drop it off and not knowing for certain that I was going to get it back, like I knew it would be okay because I had a lot of people reach out to me and like they wanted to buy my truck and, you know, it's kind of a package deal and I'm happy, very happy the way it all worked out, but still, you just never know. It's an auction. It could have, it goes to the highest bidder and, you know, you don't know what someone's willing to pay for a truck that's got 1.2 million kilometers on it. Right. So, but
worked out. When I saw that you were able to, like, you know, when you made that video, I think everybody in the industry, in the oil and gas industry that follows you and knows you and knows how close you were with that truck, when you're like, hey, guess what? I get to be with my truck. I'm going there, right? And I think everybody was just like, oh, you know, like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah. Even me, I was just like, fuck yeah.
I watched the sale live. Like, I didn't go there, but I watched it on TV, and oh my God, that it was like, it was lot whatever A and it was in lot B or some shit like that. And I was like, oh my God. So I thought it was time, and then it wasn't time because it was in the next lot. And I had just found out their bid number right before it sold. And so as soon as it sold, I knew exactly where it went, and I jumped up and I just was like, ah! It was like the most intense moment of my life so far. Like, it was just victory. Like, thank God. Like, I was still nervous because new company, and, you know, like, hopefully this works out, because I don't want to have to quit and abandon this truck I've literally sat around and waited for to see, you know, what happened and where it went. But no, honestly, I am, oh my God, I am so grateful for how everything worked out. I'm very lucky.
So I don't know, like, if I've ever explained my position and how that whole thing went down, right? But, like, you were on Chase's podcast, right? And then I think it was a couple weeks later I was on. I'm not sure if it was after you or before you. I'm not sure.
I think it was you were on before, I want to say, because I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can't remember now. That was a bit ago.
Yeah, I can't remember. So, like, I was explaining my experience with two guys that I worked with at Northwell. I wasn't trying to, like, throw Northwell in there, right? I was just saying, like, yeah, man, I you know, our sister company or umbrella company, whatever, is Northwell. And I went up to Fort Mac and I worked with them, and the guy almost killed me, right? Like, that specific person, right? And I was just explaining my thing, like, that I got fucked right up. Had I been standing a couple feet back or been a little taller, I wouldn't be here today. Right?
Yeah,
and that was scary.
No, for sure. I have had lots of hairy situations. Like, even on the good days when everything's going smooth, like, it's a extremely dangerous job. I actually did finally, after over a decade, have an incident. And
wow.
Yeah, and I almost lost this sucker right here, which would have been terrible. Ooh. And I feel bad because I know it was my fault. You know, the saying, don't stick your finger where you wouldn't stick your, you know, well, I don't have one of those. So clearly I had to learn the hard way, and I feel really bad.
There's a lot of places I put my dick, right?
Yeah. So I feel bad because he felt bad because, you know, he was behind the controls, but I'm like, no, man, it's good. Like, I am the idiot. Like, I had a moment of complacency, and trust me, I could tell you stories for days where I was with bed truck drivers also in Fort Mac that maybe were a little past their prime, and maybe probably, you know, but I don't, like, I'll share those stories, like, personally with people, but I just, you know, as a whole, like, I don't need to go out there on saying it to the world, right? Because it just paints us with a bad light, and man, hairy shit happens out there all the time. It's rig moving. It's the last of the cowboy trucking, you know, and that's honestly, like, why I love it. Like, I can't get enough.
Yeah. And but what you said, I wouldn't go out there and say it to the world. I honestly, when I said it, I didn't mean to, like, you know, I was just following the conversation, and then I jumped in, and then even after that, I'm like, I listen back and I'm like, ooh, I don't even remember saying that, right? It would happen.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And then I saw you, like, a couple months later or a couple weeks later, and I'm like, hey, there's Lucille, right? And then I'm like, shit, what's up? How come you don't have more followers, Lucille, man? You're like, not all of us sit on our phones all day, dick. Right. And I was like, oh shit. And then you walked into the bathroom and you come out and you're like, I really didn't like what you said. And then I'm like, oh man, like, and then, like, yeah, you know, and then when I saw you, it was like a couple months later, because I was on Chase's podcast again. And then I kind of explained it a little bit, right? Because I did feel bad. I explained it a little bit. And then you, when I saw you again, you're like, hey, I just want to say sorry about last time. I'm like, hey, no, cool. I understand. I dissed, I dissed your place of work and your bread and butter, and I'm sorry about that, right? And it was just like, shit. And then, you know, I've been wanting to ask you to come on the podcast here for a while, but I'm like, I'm going to say no, right? And I'm like, fuck it, I'm asking anyways, right? And here we are, so.
No, it's good. And honestly, come on, like, how many people these days with the internet and social media have the balls to, like, tell someone how they feel in person? Like, I,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
I respect the fuck out of that.
Yeah, let's fucking talk about it. Trust me. Like, I am a kind of a shy person. But when it comes down to certain situations, like, I will say how I feel, whether that upsets someone or not. But, you know, like, I do understand, like, you're on these pods and you're the conversation's just going and you kind of blank out a little bit and you don't even know one little comment might affect anything, really. It's, and that's how social media works. Like, I don't know if you've seen the one TikTok I made recently about a bathroom situation. That
I think I did.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shit show.
It was like, you know who Kennedy is, right? Torque Girl?
Yeah, I know, like, Kennedy.
When she made the video about not getting food on the rig. The rig didn't.
Oh my
her,
god.
Right? That fucking blew up. And like, I came to her defense.
I did too.
Yeah, I made the video. I'm like, holy shit, you know, because I've never been on a rig where I got food, right? That's never happened. I'm usually nights or, like, I'm not there around lunchtime or I show up after, right? So I never had that happen, but I was there for, like, a week straight all day long, and they're like, hey, lunchtime. I'm like, holy shit. So I made the video. I'm like, fucking Kennedy makes one video about not getting food, and I've never gotten food, but all of a sudden I get food? I'm like, shit, yeah. Kennedy. Next time complain about the wages or something, right? And then, like, yeah, you know, and then I started eating the food, right? And I made another video shortly after that, but, like, fucking man, I can't believe, like, people just tore into her for that and made her seem like she was complaining and it was a woman problem, and I was like, oh man, like, fuck you guys.
Same about the bathroom thing, and I'm like, man, I'm in the bush all the time, like, I do what I gotta do, but when you're not in the bush, all humans should have access to a damn bathroom, and we pay big money to use these, like, to have these facilities, and then they're not available to you. And, you know, like, I'm a girl, man, like, I have shame. I'm not dropping trow in the card lock and, you know, like, for the whole world to see me. Like, I don't need to be doing that. That's ridiculous. And
I always do it at the car lock right beside the truck, right? And the cameras are right there. And I'm just like, man, like, we could be on OnlyFans right now and they wouldn't even know, right? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I keep joking, like, if I'm pulling my pants down, it ain't gonna be for free. Like, no one's seen that shit for free. Like, there's no way. But was a whole fiasco for sure. And yeah, but fuck you if you don't want us to use your bathroom. Seriously, I don't care. I will die on that hill. We all deserve access to a bathroom.
Amen to that. So how long, you said 13 years you've been in rig moving now?
I think so. I want to say it was like November of 2012. So 12, I can't do math. So 12 or 13 years. Yeah, 12 years.
November, yeah. So, like, yeah. What were you doing before that? Like, how did you get into it? You were just like, where were you working before? You know, like, where were you working and how did you find the rig moving thing?
So basically, I dated a guy in my younger years who worked the rigs, and then just for some reason, I always loved the rigs. I knew I couldn't work the rigs. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't, but I shouldn't. If you want to be honest, I work side by side with those guys. Like, back when I swamped, I see what they do, beating those hammer unions, this, that. Like, it's just not something I should put my body through. It's just not worth it. But so I knew about the rigs. I love the rigs. I love the oil patch. And then I knew a guy who moved rigs. And that's kind of just how most people get their job. Everyone's like, how do you get your job? And, like, I don't know, brought a resume in, like, it's the same process, male or female, right? But before I was doing that job or started this job, what was I doing? I was working in a rod board mill. Do you know what rod boards are? Like, sucker rods? They're like, oh, these boards that have grooves in them, that sucker odds sit in. And yeah, I was basically just doing that. I know the fella I worked for, he moved rigs before back in the day. And he actually, like, I didn't know much about moving rigs. I just know that he didn't think I was going to make it. Like, he didn't think I was, no one actually did, which is fine. I understand. This little girl rolls in and you're like, oh yeah, she's not going to last. I would probably maybe think the same about some other girl, but I lasted and here I am today. But yeah, I worked at a rod board mill, just, you know, general labor stuff, learn how to run an old dinosaur of a loader, you know, just kind of built up my confidence from there. And jumped on a bed truck and, you know, the picker the odd time. And next thing you know, like, that fella I knew personally, so he kept me around. But then I don't know what he did. I think he jumped in a tractor and didn't eat a swamper anymore. So that's when I was kind of in limbo for a little bit. And then, within my first year, I was swamping on the Commander.
Oh,
yeah. Man,
I've taken some pictures up on the Commander, right? And I'm just like modeling on the bed, right? And I'm like, hey, you know, like, fuck, I want to do like a Men of the Patch, or not men, but People of the Patch, like, construction or whatever, like, calendar. And I want to get, like, you know, me like posing on the Commander or something like that, but that's not really my industry either, right? Like, you know, backhoes and put a few of my legs or something, that'd be funny. But like, you know, like, yeah, it's wild, you know, like, the Commander's so fucking big.
Yeah, they are. I just honestly, that's still my favorite piece of equipment. I love Commanders so much. I love what they do. Nothing compares to actual, like, tri-drive Commander. Like, that's the muscle of rig moving, and you get to do some interesting and hairy and cowboy shit on those machines. And not only rig moving, like, the cool thing is we got to go on pipeline jobs and just haul random shit or do recoveries. I love recoveries. Recoveries are like my jam. But I'm
thanks
in a tractor
for pulling
now.
Out the vac once in a while, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Had to do some recoveries with vac trucks and literally anything and everything we've had to do. We've towed cube vans up muddy hills to get to the rig to bring groceries. Like, we did anything and everything you can do with those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like as a woman who was almost overlooked and everyone was rooting against her, kind of, do you feel like, you know, that's why you're so, I don't know how to word that, why you're so, like, kind of like in your face, like, hey, I'm here, right? Is that, you feel like that plays a part of it? Like, hey, look at me, I'm here, and I'm gonna fucking show you, you know?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't say I'm in your face. Like, I feel like I try and, like, fly under the radar when I'm, like, on lease and stuff, but, like, I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to do the job. Like, I'm going to show you I can do the job. Like, the other day I was loading just a fuel tank, just a random little mission I had to haul out to a rig. And the yard guy come back with my paperwork. And when I was loading it, like, I load everything as gentle as possible. Like, I try and finesse everything. And he literally said to me, we need more women drivers, because the guys come in and just slam everything down on their deck and this and that. And, you know, like, I treat everything like it's, like, super fragile. And, you know, I try my best that way. Clearly, when it's muddy and you got to get rammy a little bit, which I also really love about my job. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just, like I said, I had really good teachers and I just want to do a good job. Like, I want to put my best foot forward every single day. Like, I know, like, some guys, not just in my industry, but you know how it is when you got a guy and they're kind of a fuck up and they just don't seem to know that they're a fuck up. Like, I know if I've had a bad day and I was off my game, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, you know, like, I gotta pick up my boots here a little bit, but I just want to go out there and do a good job. And I think when it comes down to it, it's just because I love it. Like, I love my job.
Yep, absolutely. I've heard that a lot from, you know, like, consultants and shit like that. Like, hey, man, like, we would rather see women in the equipment or, you know, shit like that, because, you know, they're not fucking ramming the controls.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're, if you want to call it that, they've got the woman's touch, right? And you know, they're easier on the controls. They're smarter about it. They're just easier on the equipment and they know how to run it properly. Right. So like,
right.
You know, me, hey, I run equipment and I don't pay for that shit. Right. You know what I mean? And you know, if I break it, I break it, you know, it's work and that's how it goes. I try not to break it.
Obviously,
but like, there are times where it's like, well, I'm a man. Right. So like, you know, like, what do I do? Fuck, this thing's not working. I jam the control and I, you know, there's no finessing that shit. Right. And my bosses, we have a few women and he says the same thing, you know, like, hey man, don't make me put one of the women in here. You know, you're costing us. The mechanical shit is an overhead cost. It's a necessary evil, but an evil nonetheless. Right. But like, if we don't need them, we don't, you know what I mean? If we don't need to use them every time you get in the fucking thing, we need to use them. Right. So like, yeah, not so much anymore, but over the first, you know, few years that I was operating equipment, it was definitely like, hey, make sure the mechanic follows this fucking guy around all day.
Yeah, honestly, like I use my truck. I use every bit of it. Like, you know, we're in the soft shit and, you know, I'll bang a gear every now and again. Who doesn't? But, you know, I guess even when I think I'm being rammy, like, I guess I'm not compared to the other guys. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky and my truck's just a ride or die solid truck and I don't break lots of shit. We just did a diff in it. But like I said, it's got 1.2 million kilometers. Those things are eventually gonna, you know, you need a fresh diff every now and again. But all in all, I don't know. I guess I don't really have anything to compare it to because I just run my truck and I don't really know what everyone else does. I do see them on the lease sometimes and oh my God, I'm just wondering what's going on over there. But yeah, I guess that's what I hear all the time. You get a good team of girls in there. Like, trust me, it can be not good sometimes, but you get the ones that are there for the right reasons, that they're there because they love their job. I think that's the key to everything. Is I'm not saying you have to love it to the extent that I do, but if you do have some passion for what you do, like, that makes a huge difference in everything. And I also love my truck. Like, if it was a piece of shit, like, I've drove some trucks that I didn't give a fuck about, and you know, you drive them different, right? Where this one, like, if she's a good old girl, she is good for me and I want to do good for her, right?
Absolutely. And what you were saying about that, you know, like, driving them like people driving them like they don't give a fuck about. I just had an issue. Fucking, I was in Valley View. I was coming through Valley View on my way to GP. And I was 3 minutes from Fountain Tire. And my truck's just shaking, right? I'm like, what the fuck? Am I losing a tire?
Oh my God.
I slow down. I pull over. I start moving over to the shoulder. As soon as I hit the shoulder, tire fucks all the way off.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It went out like 400, 500 meters away. Farmer was right there. He's like, oh shit. He brought it back to me. 3 minutes from Fountain Tire. Right. And they're like, Fountain Tire is booking like 2 weeks out. So like, you know, my boss is like, they're up in Saddle Hills. They're like, hey man, you need a ride? I'll, someone will come get you. And I'm like, no, hold on a minute. Fucking 10 minutes later, our mechanic like rolls in behind me and he's like, man, you good? And he looks at it, he's like, I can't do anything about that here, but like, I can give you a ride. So I call my boss. I'm like, man, I'm good. Right. And so like, he gives me a ride to GP and on where we go. It was like only 4 days before I got that truck back, but I was just getting my oil changed a few days prior to that. And the guy's like, hey man, your rear diff, you know, like it's metal, grinding on metal now. There's nothing there. Do you want me to change that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he types it in the computer. He's like, says I got to call this person. I'm like, call that person for, you know, approval. That person said, no, we do that at the shop. And I just look at him like, oh, fucking apparently not, right? Like, and I'm like, call our mechanic. So I call our mechanic and he's like, man, if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Just do it, right? Like, I'll take the heat for it, right? And I'm like, thanks. But the head mechanic, like at the shop, said no, right? And I'm sitting there thinking like, this fucking person never leaves that shop, right? Like, of course they're going to say no because it costs money. they're not the fucking one that's stuck on the highway hundreds of kilometers an hour. Yeah. They need to be sometimes. I was 4 hours away from fucking anyone that could help me if the mechanic hadn't rolled in. And I'm just like, man, I'm driving this thing and I'm treating this thing like it's going to get me from point A to point B. And I need to treat it good because I'm the one stuck on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I'm the one that's waiting and wasting my day. Well, this guy, he's like, oh, no, that's an expense right now we can't have. He gets to go home an hour or two later and sleep in his bed and eat food in his own house. And I'm stuck on the side of the road with hardly any cell service.
Yeah, I know. And that's one thing, like, I feel like experience too helps because, you know, just the stuff I've learned over this last however long, you know, sometimes you don't know when to push being like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, this yeah. needs to be done. And yeah, like there's been lots of things that have happened where I'm like, well, if I would have known, like I would have pushed a little harder, but you kind of got to learn those lessons as you go along. And I've been pretty lucky. Not this diff, but the one I took out years ago now, I got lucky because I had no cell service. I just had enough service to make a phone call to my boss and say, send a tractor. I can load myself on my trailer. And that was it. I had no service. I just had to, like, I loaded myself on my trailer and just hope someone showed up. And luckily they do. I pack a satellite phone now with me because I don't want that to happen again. Sorry if my cat's meowing. He's packing me a toy right now. But yeah, like I pack a satellite phone now. I bought it to go horseback riding in the mountains, but I bring it with me to work because you don't need, I also had a super scary situation happen when I was, kind of north of Athabasca in the Martin Hills area that I almost didn't have cell service for too. So you just never know. You gotta stay packing.
Yep. Well, and now Starlink, right? Starlink works everywhere. You get
yeah, that.
And yeah, it's a little pricey, but like it probably worth it. I want to get it. You know, everyone yeah. seems to be having them with them now. But
yeah, I seen one on someone Snapchatted me a Starlink, a beat up looking Starlink that was like screwed to someone's walking deck the other day, and I'm like, oh my god, that poor Starlink is probably seen some shit.
Seen some shit for yeah sure.
It would be yeah. handy, but the sat phone would get me out of a bind like if I needed it, so I'm gonna just roll with that for now.
What's your favorite thing to move, like, you know, like yeah, what's your favorite thing to move? I guess I was gonna say like give examples, but like, you know,
favorite, just like the favorite load to haul, would you say? Or
yeah.
Anything that I can just suck on and throw a chain on the front and the back. That's my favorite. Ideally, my absolute favorite scenario, we'll say, is a nice short bush move. Like, let's say like a 10 kilometer bush move, no cops, no DOT, no peace officers, no civilians, no nothing, just us and our trucks and minimal load securement, and that is top tier. That's my favorite thing ever. And also, I'm not gonna lie, even though I hate working in the mud, I love driving in the mud. I love rooting in the mud. That it, like, I just kind of love a challenge. Walking around in the mud and getting muddy, oh, I could do without that for the rest of my life. But I do love driving in the mud.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. When I was with Northwell helping out, we were up at Suncor, you know, doing that thing a few years ago. And, what was it? That was a lot of fun, you know, and I was swamping on a sow. I think it was a sow for a little bit. Yeah. Right. And I don't know his name. I don't remember his name. He passed away in his camper a couple of years back. He was an older fella. He was a black guy, a tall black guy.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
50. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name either. I don't think I worked side by side with him.
Yeah, nice guy, right? And his swamper and I, like, his swamper, I'm not a rig mover. I was just helping out, right? I'm a back swamper, right? And that was totally out of my element, but they needed help. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm there, right? Neil flew me up on the private plane.
Been there.
been there, man. That's so cool. Like the hangar with those fucking nice cars and the private.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was cool, man. You know, if I was making TikToks back then, I would have fucking made one about that.
Oh, but, for sure.
Yeah. And so he flew us out there and, you know, we land and I'm, you know, the winch line and shit like that. I had to like fucking scrunch it together and like do a little jump to get it up. Cause I'm short. Right. But he's beside me. He's like, you know, if you do it like this and like that, and it goes up, I'm like, man, you're fucking like a foot and a half taller than me, bro. Like you gotta think, right. I'm doing it like, you know, how it works for me. And he was trying to give me tips. And then he's like, oh dude, I never took into consideration like your height. And I'm like, yeah, man, like it's fucking hard on the body for me, you know, like I'm just getting along as best I can. And yeah, I worked with a guy on there. I was only his swamper for like maybe a week, right? He was calling me every fucking name in the book and being such a dickhead to me. And I was just laughing. I was loving it, right? I'm like, whatever, man. It's the camaraderie, right? It's this. And the last day I was a little bit short. No short joke intended there, but like I got a little short with him. I'm like, oh man, like you're a mouthy motherfucker. And he's like, you're calling me the mouthy motherfucker. You're mouthy. If I see you outside of here, I'm beating the shit out of you. I'm like, man, I said one thing to you in a week. I'm the mouthy guy, right? And I thought it was funny. We worked together for, you're frozen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we worked together for like a week and like I said one thing and I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. We were like the banter and shit like that. And we pat each other on the back and give each other props afterwards. Right? It was like, man, you know, shit got hairy, right? Like it was fucking, I show up on a plane at like fucking 2 p.m. It's like, go back to camp and sleep because we're going to remove a rig tonight. And it got pushed from tonight. It got moved to like, oh, we're leaving in an hour. Right? Like, oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
So you were doing like the coring rig project. Do you remember?
Oh, fuck. I don't remember. This was like, oh, my God. 6 years ago.
Were you in Firebag?
So not Firebag.
Oh, Meadow, maybe?
Yeah, it was Meadow. Yeah,
Meadow.
We stayed at the Stan Tiger Lodge. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first camp experience too, was staying in Meadow. And yeah, we worked literally around the clock. Like I'm talking so bad. You are like, do I have a shower? Or do I sleep? Like
Yep. There
was no time. And that was my first full winter swamping. And it builds character because I'm telling you that driver I had, bless his soul. I'm sure he's not with us anymore. If he is, he's very old. It was an interesting experience and it was very trying at times. And with the hours we'd work and you're working in the dark and minus 40, 50, I think honestly it got to minus 60 with the wind chill the one time. And you're so tired. You're waiting for the rig hands to hook up lines. And you just put your head against the mud tank and you just close your eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, the last couple of years in camp have nowhere near been like that, but we were busy, busy. Like it was intense. So yeah, it was pretty crazy. It probably would have been better if I had my normal driver, but you gotta make chicken salad out of chicken shit, you know, so.
I like that one. Same with on the backside of things, you know, like I told this last week on the podcast, you know, fucking, I've been on the end of a vac hose or a wash line for fucking 40 some odd hours before at a time, right? You know, mm-hmm. you get going and especially with the way the labor shortage is, you know, it's crazy. You know, one guy gets sick and, you know, you get a text, it's like, hey man, can you stay till the job's done? You know, your driver will switch out, but like, you got to stay. And, you know, it's like your driver switches out, the nighttime driver switches out, your driver comes back, you got to stay again. And it's like, fuck me. You just, you know, it was minus 48 or some shit, and they were trying to take doors off the 400 barrels, and the airline would freeze between bolts. Every second bolt, it would freeze. They'd have to run it into the shack. By the time they got the door off, it was like, okay, I'm going in. I'd go in, I get it clean, I get out. They hadn't had the other door off yet, right? So I'd go to sit in the mix shack and keep warm. Well, like, okay, it's ready. All right, get in there, clean that one out. And then I'd go sit in the mix shack again and I'd be standing up, falling asleep, right?
Yeah.
And he would come in, he's like, man, he's like, don't worry. I don't care. You close your eyes. I'll come get you when I need you. Sit down on this bucket. Have a nap, right? Like, we get it. You're covered in shit. You don't want to take it off. You don't want to go sit in the truck because you're dirty. You're sitting here. You have a nap. You relax. I'll come get you. No one's saying shit. I'm like, okay, man. And then, you know, cleaning the rigs, getting ready for a rig move, you know, fucking cleaning the tanks. You're in there, and you're in there sometimes for like fucking 20 hours, you know, and you're getting her done. And like, you learn how to sleep standing up, but also at the same time, you know, like, you're spraying the walls down and you're like, you're like startled awake and you've been spraying the same spot for like 20 minutes, right? It's like, oh shit, you know? And man, I love the service side of the patch for that reason, you know, like a bit, like you said, it builds character.
Oh yeah.
And, or it exposes it, but it definitely one or the other. And, you know, like, fucking for me, fucking get to make some fucking fire content out of it, right? You know, like, I get to work and make money and get exhausted and hate my life, but I get to have fun with it too. You know, I get to, like, you know what, most people look at my content, a lot of people have said this, like, fucking, you're glorifying it, you're making it look like shit. I'm like, no, man, I'm suffering, and if I'm suffering, I'm gonna laugh about it.
Oh yeah, you got to.
I'm gonna laugh at myself, and I'm gonna have a good time with it, and fucking might as well now make some money off of it and have a good time with it and shoot the shit about it with other people eventually on a podcast. Fuck it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, like, it's crazy. You're just watching the rig crews switch out at 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. You're still there. And then you're there when they switch out again. And it's like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't miss those days. We can't. We're on e-logs now. Like, yeah. It's not what it used to be. I do miss, like, if I had it my way, I would work 4 18-hour days and then have 3 days off. You know what I mean? Like, I love the long days. I'm fine with them. It's not an issue. Like, you know, when, I don't know about you, but like, when you step away from it and, you know, you've had some long days and then you look back and you're just like, how did I do it? Like, how do you suffer through that? You know, like, driving, you know, especially as a driver, like, that doesn't have a swamper, like, it's just you and I don't know how I still to this day, I have no idea how I made it through some of those days and, you know, did it just fine, really.
Yeah. You know, I look at it and I'm like, man, like, yeah, sometimes I'll work for so long, right? It's like 30 hours or whatever. And I'll get back and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. And I look at dispatch and I'm like, if I go back to camp now and sleep, I'm going to feel like shit for 2 days. Send me back out, right? And she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, just send me back out, right? Like, I will sleep when I get back from this, okay? Like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm bagged. But if I sleep now, right, that's it. I'm going to, you know, it's not going to be good. So she sends me back out. It's like another 12 hours. Like, all right, whatever. I get back. It's fucking 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, perfect. Now I'll go to sleep. Call me in the morning. Great.
Yeah.
Am I bagged? Absolutely. But I'll feel way better in the morning now. And like, this is only for 3 to 4 weeks and then I'm going home. I can rest that. Right. And yeah, it's hard. It is hard, but you know, we do what we got to do to feed our families and, you know, have a good life, I suppose. Right.
Yeah. And like, content wise, like, honestly, number one, I just don't have the energy. I just posted a video the other day, and someone's like, oh, did you take the summer off? And I'm like, no, I just don't have it in me to be consistent. And the content I want to create, like, don't get me wrong, I like to laugh and joke and stuff too. And I am funny in real life, but sometimes, like, I don't have that creative flow, like, you know, like you do or other people do, to make content that's like super funny all the time. But where I would want my content to go, if I were to be consistent, would be to teach people. I want, because it's a dying art, rig moving, like, no one wants to come move rigs anymore. Like, our swampers, they don't last. They don't have any interest in driving. And I'm telling you what, if you are going to get an education and go do something great with your life, great. I'm happy. Don't stick around. I wouldn't want it for any one of us, really. But for those who don't intend to, like me, like this is my career, you know, like we just don't see many of those people coming in anymore. And social media is such a powerful thing. Like, I want it to be less intimidating. I want it to be, yep. you know, for someone when before I'd ever seen a bed truck, I had never even seen one driving down the road. Like, I didn't know what they were. I didn't know to look for them, you know, like maybe if these people can come across some content and not of guys just being cocky assholes, but just genuine, like just teaching and informing people and showing them how things work. But I would need like a freaking camera crew to do those types of videos because I can't be running the truck and out there showing what this does and what that does. And, you know, like how to load a double suck. I would love to do a video, and I've seen guys do videos on them, but like a really good in-depth video on like how to load a double suck or whatever, right? Like all these things that I could do videos on. But the other thing is we're in a rush. You know how it is. Like it is, time is everything, especially with these e-logs now. Like we need to keep it moving all the time. And I will be damned if I let someone scoop me. Like I, you know, like I want to keep my place in line and keep going. I want to be the one doing the scooping. Like I want, you know, I want to be quick and efficient. Like efficiency is everything with our job, or at least it should be.
Yep. Speaking of double suck, do you know what viscosity is?
Well, yeah. If we're talking about the same thing.
What's your definition of viscosity?
Like how thick something is, or like, you know,
how thick the fluid is, right?
Yeah.
Going downhole on a rig, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm going with it is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. The Mudman.
Okay.
The Mudman deals in, you know, drilling, like, you know, laboratory testing equipment and, you know, shit like that. And he sponsors the podcast and just deals in viscosity, how thick the load is going down the hole.
Right.
And that is his area of expertise, you know? And the Mudman is incredible. He's fucking made this whole show way better than what it was at first. Like, we don't have the headset and microphone here right now. I'm missing a cord, but he provided the headset and the mic, and right now I'm recording on my brand new MacBook Pro.
Nice. You know,
the Mudman. Yeah, supplied that, and we're working on a couple of other things. And you know what? The Mudman has been all about that, you know, and he's offered to make the show better in other ways along the way too. And fucking shout out to that guy.
That's awesome.
I love the Mudman. And we're working on a couple of other sponsors and things to go, you know, here. We're like 90 episodes in, and you know, things are starting to happen. So it's fucking, you know, you play that long game when you're in the podcasting world, and you know, like it takes about 2 years of being consistent
for sure
podcasting for shit to happen, right? And
oh, definitely,
fucking, it's starting. We're about 2 years in, right? So it's we're getting there. So
consistency.
You know, www.mudmanmarket.com for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. The Mudman's got your back. So
sweet. That's awesome.
I love that guy. Like, he offered to fly me out to Texas and put me up in a hotel if I could get a creator I wanted out of Texas to come on my podcast. And I thought that was badass.
Oh my God. Have you ever been to Texas?
Never been to Texas. That's a bucket list place for me.
Yeah, definitely. I love Texas. I haven't been for holiday, but when I was working with ATK, they had a division down there. And I was a swamper back then. I didn't have my class one, but I hauled a load down to Texas just with a gooseneck trailer. And I got to see the operation down there, and I got to go on a rig move and, you know, see the big crawler cranes and just how they do things down there and eat the food. Oh my God. I would go back in a heartbeat. I love Texas.
I want to go to Texas. This will probably be my last winter as a swamper. We were talking about how I am a swamper, right? Last year I started taking interest in driving, right? And I
made it
because we have a lot of people that shouldn't be in that driver's seat. And you know, they all they know how to do is hold the steering wheel, and they don't know how to do anything else. And I'm getting tired of making half the amount of money they are and doing all the work. So, you know, like I took interest in the shift pattern and whatnot. And, you know, I was starting to get it. And then I come back to the road crew every summer. And so like, this will be probably, I probably won't be even swamping for the whole summer or the whole winter. Sorry. I'm aiming to have my license this year, and I'm excited. I'm excited to move up and, you know, make more money. And for some reason on the internet, like swampers like are looked down upon, it's weird. People are like, oh, you're just a swamper. What the fuck? No respect for that guy. Right. And I'm like, okay, bud, you know, you see the labor pool for a swamper and you're like, you know what it takes to be a good swamper, how hard it is to find a good swamper. You know what I mean? Like your swamper can make or break you.
Oh, right? Yeah, I know. A good swamper can literally make a bed truck, and a bad swamper. Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like the driver I had, and I'm sure he was amazing. Like the one I had in Meadow, I'm sure he was amazing at one point. You know, we all have an expiry date. That's just the way she is. But a good swamper, we made some shit happen regardless. And I have said the same thing, like, oh, you're just a fucking swamper, not to you, but like, you know, to the ones that have shit attitudes about everything. Like, you know, if you want to be something, like pick it up and be a driver. And like, you know, the thing with a swamper, if they've swamped for too long, and I probably was guilty of it too, cause I swamped for 6 years, is you think you know some shit until you get into the truck. Maybe not as much for your job because your truck is stationary when you do your job. But for us, you know, you think you know some shit till you get in that seat and everything looks different. Your whole world looks different. And then it humbles you a little bit. You know what I mean? But yes, get Absolutely. Your license, man. If I can drive a truck, you can drive a truck. If I can drive a truck, literally anyone can drive a truck. Like I'm not necessarily the smartest person in the whole world, and I'm out here doing a pretty good job. So get your license. It's worth it. Oh my God, is it worth it? Even if you didn't stick with it for your whole life, like get your class one. Also get your class one. Don't get your three, get your one. I promise you that'll be the best decision you ever make because it's in your back pocket. If you ever get sick of, you know, working hard, because I know vac truck is hard work. One of my best friends, she owns a tank truck and a vac truck, and yeah, she works super hard. So you never know, you might get sick of working hard one day and, you know, want to chillax a little bit and, you know, drive something a little easier. And then you're going to have your class one in your back pocket, and just do it. It'll be the best decision you're going to make. I promise.
Yeah. And what you were saying about how like the game changes when you think you know shit, you get on that side of the truck, right? I train all of the new drivers, like pretty much all of the new drivers. They come in and like, you know, but I train them how to run the vac, right?
Yeah.
And when they ask me, oh shit, what's going on over here? I'm like, that's not my side of the truck, bro. You know, like that's anything that, you know, driving stick, you know, buttons and shit like that. You got to figure that out, right? Like, I'll show you how to run the suck and the water and the heat and shit like that.
Yeah.
And open the back door and rinse the fucker out. But getting us from point A to point B, that's your job. I'm having a nap. See you later.
Oh yeah. When I was a swamper, as soon as I hit that swamp seat, I don't care what anyone says, like let your swamper sleep. Don't be an asshole. Like for real, because you know, these guys, they forget what it's like out there, you know, like it doesn't matter plus 30 or minus 30. As soon as you hit that truck and either the heat or the AC hits you, it's just, oh, you're just toast, right? Yep. And yeah, yep. Like you said, you're like, we're out there in the elements all day too as swampers. So yeah, like just let your swamper sleep. It's not really a big deal. They don't have to stay awake. Like, I don't know about your guys' drivers, but like some of our bed hands, they just absolutely love to sleep in the corner when there's nothing going on and let their swampers out there helping tractors chain down and do this and do that. So let your swamper sleep. They deserve it.
Fuck yeah. There was another guy that I worked with. I can't remember his name, but he was, it's not Jim Letty. I fucking love that guy. Fucking love Jim. Jim is like my hero. I made him mad one time in the kitchen and I thought I was dead. He was just having a bad day.
Oh, but you don't mess with Jim in his kitchen, boy.
No, you don't. And same with Jeff. Oh my God. Oh, I got a story about Jeff. Jeff Black.
Oh my fuck.
So Jeff and I was swamping for Jeff one time, just helping him out. This is like one of the last times I ever worked with Jeff, right? We're driving down the highway. It was like fucking 2 a.m. It's minus 40 out. And he's sitting there chain smoking, as Jeff does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And he's sitting there chain smoking. And I crack my window, right?
Oh my God.
He fucking rolls it back up. And I roll it back down. And he rolls it back up. And then I put it down and I hold the button there. Right. And he's like, it's fucking cold outside, man. And I'm like, and I want to be able to breathe. So fucking, you know, crack or fucking all the way, you know? And he grumbled like Jeff does. And I love Jeff. You know, like a lot of people take him as a miserable old prick, but I think it's funny. And I think he's funny. Like
his
humor's dry. If you really get to know Jeff, you know he's fucking
funny. Takes time. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I can't remember his name. He was like a picker operator. And, it was raining and we were doing a Pembina job in Fox Pipeline and it was raining and I was helping him out. I'm a vac swamper. I'm just helping this guy. I know nothing about the pick. And
yeah.
we're fucking off down. We're going down the very end of the Big Stone. So like kilometer 50 or whatever it is. We're going down to the end and it's pouring rain. And he's like, oh, it's raining out. It's muddy. I need chains. He's like, have fun. I'm on the phone with my wife. You put the chains on.
Shit.
I was putting the chains on and I'm like, this motherfucker's serious. He ain't helping me out. So I pretended like I didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, hey man, I don't know what I'm doing here. You got to help me out. Right. I watched this guy get out and struggle by himself. I'm like, you're going to make me do it by myself in the rain and the mud. Man, I'm pissing you off. Right. He gets out. He's yelling and fucking hollering and shit, putting them on. On the way out, the truck is caked in mud. And he's like, truck's pretty muddy. Sounds like a good job for you to do after we get back from back to the shop. I'm like, yeah, man, we will clean it together. You're right. Fucking, we get back to the shop. I get out. I start washing it. He's in a cab talking on the phone. And I'm like, oh, one of those guys. I'm like, man, you gonna help? He's like, I'm just talking to my wife. Get her clean. Oh, I'm not here to do your job. I'm just here helping today. Right,
like, yeah, yeah. You
know, I set the wash wand down, I got undressed, and I went into the lunchroom and I sat there. He comes in, he's like, you're not gonna wash my truck? I'm like, no, I bought my boss Terry, he just told me I gotta be on a job in a couple hours, so have fun. Terry comes out, he's like, I'll drive you back to camp, bud. Let's go. He heard the whole thing, right? He knew what was going on, right? That was the last time I swamped for helped out there, right?
And oh my God, like, yeah,
man, I'll help you, but I ain't doing it.
No, I hear you. Washing is my least favorite thing in the whole world. I'm not very good at it. So you don't want my help anyways.
Whatever. So like, where do you said we all have an expiry date. Like, do you, you know, where do you see yourself in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? Do you see yourself still on the rig side, the rig moving side, or are you like planning on like kind of transitioning out of that, or?
You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I keep saying, and I wouldn't say hold me to it, but I am pretty determined to be out of a truck by the time I turn 40. And where that brings me after that, I don't know, but I will not be driving any truck. And everyone says, oh, you can do this, you can do that. I've dabbled in a little bit of other trucking and I hate it. I do not like trucking. I like rig moving. I like running the trucks. I like that stuff. And I'm not saying I'm going to be a decrepit old nag at 40. I take care of myself. I refuse to be decrepit and, you know, in bad shape like a lot of these guys. But 40 is my cutoff. I don't want to do that to myself. I want to find something else, whether I can retire at that age or whatever. But I am absolutely not driving a truck till I'm dead. Like that's the classic rig mover way, is you drive the truck until you're dead, and that won't be me.
Yeah, they pull you out of the truck stiff, right?
Like, yeah,
you're gone.
Yeah. Oh man, it breaks my heart seeing some of the old fellas that I love just still trucking. And you know what, if that's what they want to do and they're having a blast, then so be it. I just don't want to have to be driving that truck. I want to set my life up where I can make that decision when 40 comes around, and 9 more years I can decide, hey, I'm still loving it, I still feel good, I'm not too beat up, you know, like I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to dabble. You know, the nice thing about my job is I can basically take whatever time off I want, right? Like, you don't get that at a lot of jobs. I don't have to ask, you know, hey, you know, like, can I don't get just 2 weeks off a year. I do whatever I want to do, right? So, you know, yeah. If 40 comes around and I want to work summers or I want to work winters, you know, or just fill in, then so be it. I'm going to do that. But in my head, 40 is where I want to draw the line.
Yeah. I take good care of myself for the most part, you know, but like, I don't know. Yeah. I take decent care of myself for the most part, you know, and like I do, you know, chiro and massages, and I do float therapy, which is so cool. Like, have you ever done float therapy?
No.
10 inches of water with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salts. An hour in the chamber is like the equivalent of a 3-day fast. And
oh my God.
The first time I ever went in there, it was like 2 hours I spent in there, and I got out and my brother-in-law was in the other one, and him and I went to McDonald's and got Little Caesars. We were just like dying. We're like, man, everything we just did in there just didn't happen because we got fucking all that food afterwards. But I do shit like that, you know, prolong, you know, try to eat healthy and whatnot. And it's a young man's game. It really
is. Oh, for sure. Oh my God. Let me tell you, they want me to pull wheels so bad. Everyone, oh, you should pull wheels. You should pull wheels. And I'll do it every now and again when someone's off or they're in a bind, right? I'll pull the wheels, whatever. But that's also a young man's game. I am not a young man. I know my limits, and I'm not saying I'm limited as in I can't do it. I know I can do it. I have the knowledge. I'm capable. I don't need to be putting extra tire chains on. I don't need to be pulling my double line out all the time. I don't need to be slinging half inch chains. I just don't. I like my tri high. I keep saying I'm peaked. Like this is it for me. I want to pull tri high, tri low, preferably tri high. And just haul the light loads. That's my jam. And trust me, I feel like the baddest bitch in the whole world when I got a 40 mid behind me. But like the glory, people do it for the glory a lot of the times. Like the pay isn't that much more, right? So you're not doing it for the pay, you're doing it for the glory. And I still get the same rush out of hauling my tri loads that I would pulling the wheels, and it's less stress. And you know, like if you get yourself in a bind with a wheeler, you're in a bind. But so that's the thing, that's a young man's game. And there's just, I don't think there's a dollar amount that's going to make me really change my mind to pull wheels. It's just not worth it for me.
Yeah. I'm 35 now, right? I'm going to be 36 in a few months, 7 months here, right? I feel it these days, you know what I mean? After a long day, there are days where I have just enough left to make it back through that door.
Yeah.
I crawl onto my bed and I'm crippled. I can't move for the rest of the night, right? I shouldn't be doing most of the shit that I was doing 10 years ago. I shouldn't be doing that now. I still do it. I just pay the price for it later.
Yeah.
Right? And I can still do it just as fast, just as hard. But there's no like getting back and doing extracurricular shit, right? So, you know, the age is coming. It's coming. It's coming for us all. I don't want to be that fucking guy on site at 50 years old that's still there. And, you know, like, you know, I want to get my license. I want to make my money and I want to get the fuck out, right? You know, and I believe in a way, the content, the podcast, this is, you know, part of that road out, right?
For sure.
You know, we're 90 episodes in now, right? And like I said earlier, and fucking we're having a good time. And you know, I kind of, you know, if it never goes that way, that's fine too. I don't want to force it onto it or anything like that, but that's part of the goal, right? I want to make that, I'll try to make that happen, but I'm not going to force it, you know? So we'll keep at this and have a good time with it. And if it doesn't go that far, it doesn't go that far. Right. So, yeah, either way, I want a road out, right? You got to have your hands in different pies. And as an older guy now, and you're there as an older woman in the pageant room, but like as an older woman in the pageant, you remember back in the day, you'd see all the older guys and be like, yeah, I got my hands in this pie and I'm making extra revenue streams. And I sat there and I'm like, why would you do that? You make good money. You know, this is why, right? This is why they were doing it.
Yeah, my best friend, her dad pulled rig skid for us for forever, and he retired in his mid-50s, like pretty young, like, and he did it through investing, and I look up to him for it, because that's what I want for myself. I want to have a way out, and he made himself a way out. Everyone says, oh, I need a job with a retirement and this and that. You are your own retirement. You are responsible for that, and no one else is. And you have to start now, right? Preferably 10 years ago, but now is still better than tomorrow, right? So that's
absolutely,
yeah, like I try and be mindful with my money. And I don't get me wrong, I like to travel and I like to do stuff, because I spent a lot of years only rig moving. Like I literally didn't take holidays. I didn't do anything. I just worked every freaking day. And now I'm kind of at a point in my life where I want to see more things and do more things. And I have a partner that has the same goals and same, you know, same dreams as me. And we both make really good money. And, you know, like, so we do this stuff, but we also are gonna make our way out of it eventually. Like he's not gonna be wrenching at 70 years old, and I'm not gonna be putting tire chains on at 70 years old. We're just not gonna be doing that at all.
Imagine being the Betty White of the rig moving industry.
You know, yeah, no, it's not gonna happen. And you know what? Okay, you can make fun of me for this, and other people might, but I have thought about getting into the safety side of it. I ideally would be a trainer. That's what I would like to do, because you want someone to train that loves their job, right? That knows it in and out, boots on the ground for many years. And you don't want someone that's going to go in there and spread hate for their job. You're going to want someone to go in there and spread excitement and, you know, enthusiasm about their job. And that's what I would love to do. That I would train swampers, drivers. I would be a little sketched out letting someone else drive. I'm not sure how I'd navigate that, but like, you know, like I hope I'm not teaching them how to drive. That's the one thing about rig moving. You better know how to drive already when you get into it. But like, you know, all the other intricate stuff we do, like I could see myself transitioning into something like that if the opportunity arose. But that also comes with a huge pay cut. No one's paying safety what drivers are making. So if that were to happen and be, you know, years down the road when I'm ready to slow down a bit, you know, like after 40 or whatever, I love the industry so much. I would love to see where it even is in 10 years from now. Like it's changed so much in the last 10 years that I've been in it. So I just don't know where it's going or where anything's really interesting to see where we end up in another decade.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. You know, I've been in it for this year, 13 years. Right. And, you know, look how far we've come, right? We've come a long way. Where was safety 10 years ago, right? It was there, but like, you know, not as much, right? Like we now have a voice out for us. I remember taking this finger to the bone 12 years ago. I took this finger to the bone with a 5 foot crowbar and a sledgehammer, right? And it felt good, right?
I bet.
And safety guy was right there watching me, and he's like, hey man, you want to go to the hospital? I'm like, you asking me or telling me? He's like, asking, you want to go? I'm like, no. He's like, you want the rest of the day off? I'm like, no, if I do that, I'm never gonna live it down, right? Nowadays something like that happens, he's forcing you to go to the hospital. It's not even up for discussion.
Yeah, when I almost lost that finger, oh my God. I said, do I have to go? Like I didn't want to go. And they're like, yes, you have to go. And I did have to go. I had to get 4 stitches in it. But yeah, I so desperately didn't want to do that. Like I liked where safety was back in those days. I did not mind it at all. But there's a fine line, you know what I mean? And as we had an amazing safety guy out of Red Deer at Northwell. Love him to bits. Adore him. Bill Schneider was his name. Okay. The salt of the earth, man, that man is, and hard worker. Like, he's like no other safety guy. He's out there packing planks, helping you chain down. He's someone you truly respect. And he's probably a lot of the reason I changed my vision, maybe, on how I view a safety guy. Like, I want to be like him because he had our respect. If he did tell you to do something or to maybe not do something, you respected him because he was really realistic and he also stood up for his people, right? And that's what I want to do. I feel like we need someone out there that's going to stand up for us as drivers and swampers and, you know, like say, no, we're going to shut her down. Like, we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to finish it up or whatever the case may be, right? Like, I feel like, you know, we need someone with a backbone. And you know how I chewed your ass, right? I have a backbone. I will speak up when need be, right? And I'm not worried about me being the most liked person out there. I just, you know, like I want to get the job done and I want things done right and safely and efficiently. And I want everyone pulling their weight too. So, you know, maybe there might be something for me down the line. Maybe there won't be, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see in a decade.
We'll have to see. I don't want to keep you too much longer. Right. So
for sure.
Where can people find you on the socials, just in case anyone doesn't know who you are and you know, which is highly unlikely, but
you know what? It blows my mind that people recognize me. Like, that's the weirdest shit. So before I say anything, if you see me and you say hi to me and I'm like weird, I am so sorry. Like, it's not that I didn't want to say hi, like come say hi. That's fine. I just like cannot believe that people out in the wild are like, oh, are you that rig moving chick? And I'm like, I guess so. I still haven't figured out. It is so weird. Like, I'm literally just me. I'm nobody special. I'm just a person who runs a winch truck. But anyways, both my socials, TikTok and Instagram, are just rig moving chick, I think. Rig moving underscore chick or something like that. I do tend to be a little bit more active on Instagram because I just feel like it takes less energy to throw up a picture on my story or whatever. And I am more likely to reply to a DM on Instagram than I am TikTok because shit is wild in the DMs there. I can't be answering all of those, but yeah, so that's where you're going to find me. And say hi if you do see me. I swear to God, even if I'm a weirdo, I do appreciate it. And it does make me feel good.
I've been spending a lot more time on Instagram too. You know, Instagram's a lot of fun, the reels and everything else on there. I like it a lot more now than TikTok. And I've taken a little step back from TikTok the last few months.
Okay.
I post, you know, once a week, twice a week, you know, but I'm taking a little break, right? You don't need to post that you're taking a break. You just take the fucking break, right? Like,
same.
You know, and 4 years into creating content, man, you know, and I'm a father and a husband and I have the podcast now and I work over 100 hours a week and it's exhausting. Something's got to be, right? Like, you know, it's exhausting. So, you know, I'm going to get back into it. I took the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, maybe for too long. Who knows? But I'll decide that. And I know when I go back to TCR, I know the foot's going right back on the gas, right? I just had, I'm on the road crew for the summer right now, you know, and it's almost done, another week or two maybe. And, you know, I'm very busy and I'm in a lot of places, you know, where I have other things going on. I don't always want to be creating content. I want to hang out with people. I want to watch movies again. I want to feel, you know, like, you know, the weight of posting a video, it shouldn't feel like
it shouldn't be. Right? You should just be doing, that's what I do. If I feel like posting a video, I feel like posting a video and everyone's like, where have you been? I'm like, living life, man. I move rigs year round. I travel. I have an acreage. I have animals. I go to the gym. I run. You know, I'm busy. And whenever I throw up a video, it's, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, those videos are more for me than anyone else. I post them And, you know, like in 10, 15 years, 20 years or whatever it may be, I want to look back at that stuff. It's like a little documentary of my life. It's like a little diary. And I guess it's yep. for the public to view too, but it's just cool shit, man. That's all I post. I don't ever go out and post with an intention of, well, I hope this video gets a million views. I never post like that. It's just whatever I feel like posting in the moment, whatever feels good to me, whatever I have the energy for, that's what I post. It's just genuine.
You know that song, I can't remember how the song goes, but it's an Oldfield song. It's like, I live half my life with no, with only grass beneath my feet. Right. And it's like, I'm taking all these pictures for my kids, because when I'm dead and gone, they'll know what daddy did. Right. And yeah. you know, the videos, right. The pictures that I take and the videos, right. My kids are going to grow up and they're going to be, you know, they're gonna be like, yeah, man. Hey, what did your dad do when he was, you know, when I'm dead and gone? Hey, what did grandpa do? Hey, what did your dad do for work? You know, when they have partners later on down the line, what'd your dad do? Fucking let me show you. You got some time, right? Like pull up the phone and the video proof is there. Right. And I think that's so cool, you know, and I'm having fun along the way. We're laughing, we're joking. And you know what? It's all that matters. That's all that matters. And I love it, you know? So yeah,
for sure.
I'm not going to keep you too much longer here. I got one more question and then, you know, we'll wrap it up.
For sure.
That's why I ask one last question at the end of every episode. And Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock, right? Given depending who you ask, right? So, like, if you had your own Mount Rushmore, four of the most influential people in your life that you look up to, inspire to be that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Okay. Wow. You really put me on the spot. So it's like asking someone what their favorite song is and they apparently don't know any music. Number one that comes to mind is actually my ex, who was my driver on the Commander. His name's Kevin. And he tells me all the time that it was all me, but it wasn't all me. It was him. He opened the door for me and he took me under his wing and he taught me everything I know, and I will forever be grateful for that man. I would say my grandpa for just being the salt of the earth and being such a great man. And, you know, I miss him dearly and I wish he was, you know, I wish he could have been around for when I got my license and I wish I could have took him for a drive. My friend Tessa, she also runs Winch Truck. And I look up to her for more than just rig moving stuff. She's really into the gym and she's built a physique that I would die for. So I really look up to her for a lot of reasons. She's like, she's my superwoman, to be honest. And I would say my fiance, honestly. He is so enthusiastic about life. He's such a hard worker. He never stops. And he's just so positive and just everything he does for me, I just can't believe. I'm so lucky to have met someone. And I met him in camp of all places. So yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So
oh, shit.
Yeah. So I would say that was four people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say those are, you know, some of my favorite people in the whole world and they mean the most to me.
That's huge. I love that. That's beautiful. Actually, I love the grandfather thing. You know, I'm a little envious when people say they're family, right? Cause I'm not very close with mine, just my wife. Oh, and
I'm not either.
And one of my sisters. Yeah. And like, you know, I haven't talked to my dad in 4 years. I haven't seen my mom in three. My brother, I haven't seen since Christmas 2012, right? And it's like, you know, when I hear people talk about their families, I get a little envious, you know? It's like, fuck, I wish I had something like that, you know? But like, yeah.
Honestly, I don't talk to any of my family. It's my parents, basically. But yeah, I definitely loved my grandpa and I am so happy that I did get the years I have with him. And yeah, other than that, yeah, I can relate to you. I'm not super close with anyone else.
Hell yeah.
It is what it is.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Lucille. Like, this has been, you know, this has been my baby, right? For 90 episodes, this has been my baby. And I get excited to record. I get excited when the episode comes out. I get pumped. And, you know, it's evolved a couple times. And, you know, last week we had our very first ever in-person episode. I've never recorded in person with someone before. And I did that last week. And it was fucking insane. Yeah, no, thanks for coming on and being a part of this journey with me. You know, it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we got to do it again sometime. You know?
Oh, definitely. Well, for sure.
I love having you.
Yeah, in another 10 years, we'll see where I'm at. No, I'm just kidding. Sooner than that, for sure. But thanks for reaching out. And, you know, like, that was a, you know, big move. And I'm glad we did this. And I feel really good about it. It was awesome.
Hell yeah. You know, I see you around everywhere. And I'm just like, should I send a message today? Should I say hi? And I'm like,
do it.
You know, like, that was like 3 years ago, you know, and fuck it.
Oh yeah. No, that's in the past. We're good. We had a great chat about it and a great chat about everything, honestly.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me, for sure.
Lucille, you stay frosty.
See ya.